You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
Welcome to the My Senior Horse Podcast. This is for people who own, manage, and love senior horses, ponies, donkeys, and mules, come to share our passion and to learn more about caring for our senior equids. Our guest today is Vanessa Allen, and she's going to be talking to us about forage substitutes for our horses. I'm your host, Kim Brown, Editorial Director of My Senior Horse. We launched the global My Senior Horse brand in partnership with Linda Mars and Mars Horse Care in mid-2024. We offer many ways to get information on older equids, including this biweekly podcast, articles on the MySeniorHorse.com website, videos, and so much more. Vanessa has been a nutrition advisor for Mars Horse Care in the UK since 2013. Prior to joining Mars, Vanessa was a research assistant at the University of Cambridge for 9 years. She also has experience in the horse racing industry and a background in top-level eventing. Thank you for joining us today, Vanessa.
You're very welcome. It's always a pleasure to come and chat to you guys. So thanks for having me.
Well, in talking about forage substitutes, we know there's times when we either can't get our normal hay or our horses, for some reason, need a different type of forage, maybe for a physical reason. So what are some of our options for forage substitutes?
Okay, so yeah, there's kind of two questions in one there. So I'm going to split things up. So obviously where it's a case of can't get hold of your hay, forage, it forms the foundation of, or should form the foundation of every horse's diet wherever possible. And as you mentioned, there may be some reasons why it can't, which we'll come on to. Because we know the horse has a very complicated and quite sensitive digestive system, really what we want to do is always plan ahead. So we want to try and make sure that we're not going to have to make any sudden changes, that we don't suddenly run out of our forage. We want to make sure that we've got plenty, we've got our next batch or order ready to go and be delivered, and that we have a little bit of time to cross over between sort of running out of one and having to start on a whole new batch. Colic risk is greatly increased by changes in the diet, especially with forage being the foundation. You know, it's the majority, some horses, it's almost all of their diet. And so it's really important that we just prep. What do we need? How much are we going to need? Whether that's month to month or seasonally, depending on how many horses we have, either at home or in our professional, you know, yard environment. And so it's really, really important to, it should be the first thing you do. We often, you know, can nip to the feed shop for feed, but actually forage, you need to plan that little bit further ahead. So we know that weather, especially in the UK, can massively affect harvests and the amount produced year to year. If we've had poor weather, then, you know, it's something to get in there quicker. Speak to your local supplier, make sure they're going to have enough for you to last you through the winter or the months when you need to feed. Traditionally, we would feed a lot more in the winter of forage than we do in the summer in the UK. And I'm sure in, you know, large parts of the US, you will have really good grass availability and horses will spend much of their time, you know, heads down in the fields and paddocks. Mm-hmm. It's the winter time when you don't have access to the weather, that it's, you know, weather or, you know, the yard just don't let you because there isn't enough space. You'll ruin the fields through the winter months. So it's making sure that, you know, we prepare ahead and we keep that supply. As I say, rapid change of diet is causes a real disturbance to the digestive system. And with older horses, it's even more, you know, of a strain on them when, you know, they may not have a digestive system that's as fully functional or thriving in as well as, you know, a young, healthier horse. It's a bit more robust, perhaps. So we again, in the UK, we have a lot of local stores. If you do run out of your hay, you can nip to the store and you can often buy ready to go wrapped small bales of haylage, which might see you through a few days. So that was sort of a last minute on desperate sort of option. But hopefully it's, you know, something we can try and avoid by just thinking ahead and being prepared. We have a few other options which we can use in those emergency times. We have, you know, short chopped fibres and complete and partial hay replacers. And those are both sort of not your first choice, but another thing we'll sort of come on to a little bit later. For physical reasons, that's obviously slightly different. So it may be dental, or it could be digestive systems or other. So if we pick on colic, for example, obviously that's a really important conversation to have with a vet. Discuss options. There are different types of colic. There are different protocols or procedures that vets may advise, specific diets based on that horse's specific issue and how the vet wants, you know, that treatment plan to go. Generally, we would recommend a mash to horses that have had a colic surgery over here. So there are, as I've mentioned, there's sort of a complete and partial hay replacer mashes, which are very high in fibre and are obviously a small pellet, which once you add the water to it, they mash up very quickly. And they're a great way of keeping the digestive system moving if the horse has had an impaction or some kind of surgery that's really affected their digestive system. Then it's obviously super important that we make sure that we lower the risk in terms of repeating those impactions and keep that food moving through the digestive system as easily as possible. So that's often slightly sweeping statement. As mentioned, you must speak to the vet, but it's often a first sort of port of call is to reach for those mashes. With dental issues, then there's obviously I guess levels of how bad are those teeth and what sort of things can that horse eat. So sometimes when we're on yards chatting to owners, their equine dentist has said don't feed your horse any of the short chopped fibers because they get stuck between the teeth. Other horses seem to manage fine with the very soft short chopped fibers, but simply can't manage the long stem fibers anymore. So again, really consult with the dental experts. Nutritionists can give you the information of what's available, but absolutely the dentists are the experts. They're the ones that can see what's going on with the teeth. They know if it's a case of, you know, hooks in the mouth, sore gums, gaps between the teeth, all of the numerous different things that will affect your choices. If you have a senior horse that can have no long stem fiber anymore, then of course this is kind of the what do we do now? Where do we go? What are our options for forage substitutes? So we have numerous different feeds on the market over here, as you guys do. So sorry if I've kind of missed anything that's key that you may use, or I've included something that perhaps we use a lot of in the UK and you may not. There's obviously more than one way of doing things. So yeah, going back to the mashes, they would be a complete feed or a partial hay replacer that you can feed like for like in terms of your hay. So if your horse was on 6 kilograms of hay overnight time, you would simply be able to obviously slowly introduce that forage replacer and replace it on a like for like basis of 6 kilograms for that horse. There might be some that are lower calorie and they are perfect for the horses that are still senior good doers, and then some that are higher calorie, which are, you know, better suited to those who are poorer doers or through the winter months need extra calories if they're in a, you know, more cold climate or working harder or, you know, other sort of variations. So these mashes will obviously be produced by feed manufacturers such as ourselves, and they should be able to give you all the details on the packet. You know, you should have lots of information about what's in the bag, the fiber levels, the protein levels, etc., etc. Many of these mashes, but not all, were maybe produced to be low in sugar and starch, which again may be useful for some of these senior horses that may have some more complex nutritional requirements. You also have some straight feeds that are used as more tend to be as partial hay replacers. So for example, the grass cubes, I'm going to say cubes because we would call them cubes. I know that they may be called nuts or pellets by other people, but there's, you know, relatively small cubes that again will usually be soaked to make sure that they're safe for the horse to eat and also easier on those, you know, struggling with dental issues.
Yeah.
The grass cubes may be called hay cobs. That's quite a common name. And there's, again, you may be able to get some that are produced to be lower with sugar levels. Be very careful with grass cubes. Some can be very high, depending on when that grass was harvested, of course. So may not be suitable, for, again, depending on clinical issues. Alfalfa nuts and alfalfa pellets, they're probably more popular in the US. I know, yeah. Alfalfa is you know, fed as a forage, whereas we tend to use it as part of the diet over here in the UK. It's not used as a sole forage in the same sort of way. But again, can be cubed or mashed, cubes or pellets made into a mash. So that can be very useful. Sugar beet is another one that people will often use, perhaps as a partial hay replacer. So a lot of people will give their horse a bit of a buffet. So they might use 2 kilos of the grass cubes, 2 kilos of the sugar beet, 2 kilos of one of the mashes, so that their horse has a bit more of a variety of feeds to try and replicate them having that variety of food in nature. High fibre cubes could be great if that horse wants a little bit more texture. Some oldies can be quite picky and they don't want a sloppy feed. They want to, you know, crunch on something as they have done their whole life. And then obviously we have the short chop fibres, like I say, that some may be able to eat, some may not.
Mars Equestrian, a sponsorship division of Mars Incorporated, is dedicated to highlighting the Mars brands, such as Buckeye Nutrition, Spillers, Antec Diagnostics, Sound Imaging, Royal Canin, Pedigree, Nutro, and many more in the equestrian world. Whether it's through nutrition, veterinary care, or education, our purpose is to create a better world for horses, pets, and the people who love them.
I'm also going to pick on straw. Okay, so straw is another forage that we may use as a partial hay replacer in the UK. We would say they could use up to 50% straw, but it's really important to stress that this is just for horses with good teeth who are not prone to colic and may be better suited to those healthy younger horses that are a bit more robust. It's really useful for good doers. So we would recommend this, you know, as a partial sort of hay replacer for these good doers who are really struggling with their weight anyway. It's obviously lower in protein, lower in calories. So actually quite useful. And with donkeys, obviously, you know, it's a great forage to be using anyway, again with that, you know, lower calorie, etc. So don't forget straw in your forage replaces could be useful. And then of course there is alfalfa hay rather than your grass hay. And then very popular in the UK, we obviously have haylage or wrapped hay, which, you know, are much more similar proposition to normal dry hay, you know, same grasses, maybe made from very, very similar region, just harvested slightly differently by the, you know, farmer. So there's a lot of different options out there in terms of forage substitutes, and it's really about finding what is either available or what most importantly is suitable for your horse and their needs.
Yeah. And I know we've covered a little of this, but I kind of want to focus on, you said, you know, we need to be prepared. At some barns, they get their hay each month. Some people, like my daughter and I, we'll buy the whole winter's worth of hay and stack and cover it, you know.
But yeah,
when we have to change forages, we have a bad winter and run out of what we're used to feeding. The supplier had a short supply, it was a bad growing season. Again, let's talk just a little bit about, oh my gosh, I'm going to run out of my hay in a week. What do I need to do?
Okay, so any change in feed or forage, and again, forage is the majority, so it's often one that we don't consider so carefully because we think, oh, it's just hay, my horse is fine, I can just feed them another one. That is the majority of food that the horse eats. So a change of forage has that massive disruption on the digestive system. So as you've said, if you know you're going to run out, then start making that change as soon as possible and do it as gradually as possible. So if you've got a week's worth left, I would suggest getting to the nearest shop or other supplier as fast as you can, getting in touch, getting that delivery as soon as you can, and doing that gradual changeover. So maybe you can get your current 1 week's worth supply to last 2 weeks as you introduce the old. And hopefully we then minimise that for it, the risk of colic or, you know, digestive disturbance. So, yeah, Yeah.
And, you know, one of the reasons, and we're not going to get into it today, we've talked about this in other podcasts, but just when you change the forage, the bugs that are digesting it, the good bugs, we call them, the bacteria and enzymes and so forth that we deal with in the gut, that changes when the feed changes. Just think of yourself. If you went from eating, you know, bread to eating cupcakes, that's not going to be the same on your gut.
Yeah. And as humans, we, I think, forget the importance of that because we are very varied diet and we eat foods from all over the world. And we'll quite often say, oh, I've come back from a holiday with a bit of a jokey phrase is deli belly when you've eaten something, you know, tropical almost diet. And they have completely different bacteria, you know, in different countries. So that will really affect us on a day to day. You know, we have so much variety. It takes a lot to upset us, whereas the horse has such a small variety of food and bacteria. Like you say, even just changing from one hay supplier to another, you think, oh, it's all the same. But that colic risk really is greatly increased from that change. So, yeah.
Yeah. And any other thoughts on when you're changing a forage, like if you have to add a mash or you have to do something like that?
Yeah, so I think I mentioned earlier about making sure you're feeding the correct amount. So that's often something that people don't think about. They think, oh, I've got my scoop of feed, because they see it as a feed rather than as the forage. You think, oh, by the time I've added my water, that looks like so much. That must be loads. But actually, you need to compare the dry weight of the pellets that you're feeding to the dry weight of the hay. So if your horse is eating that 6 kilos of hay, they need 6 kilos of fiber still. So 6 kilos of your forage replacer. And like I say, you could be offering them a buffet. The other thing to consider is obviously hay takes considerably longer to eat. So that hay net may last a horse 2 or 3 hours. They may be able to scoff their mash if that's what you've gone for in, you know, half an hour or an hour. So you need to consider how you're going to feed your horse, not just how much, but are you going to need to feed them little and often? Not only is spreading it out from a boredom point of view, but also from a clinical welfare point of view. Horses aren't designed to go a long time without, you know, forage and fibre through the digestive system. So it's really important that you spread out these forage replacers into little meals and trickle feed them through the day. So yeah, consider clinical issues. So avoiding the high sugar products if you've got certain horses that can't have that, or higher starch manufactured mashes maybe. So really look into what you're purchasing and what's, you know, if you can't see the information on the bag, make sure you look on the manufacturer's website. Consider the horse's teeth. Again, I'm really emphasizing that point because with the seniors, it's so important. And, you know, the first part of the digestive system is the chewing of the feed. And if that bit's not working well, then, you know, it's going to impact the rest of the digestive system. The other thing to think about is, in a really practical manner, is what are your management, is your management routine for that yard? Is this horse that you're having to change the forage for, whether you're running out of or you're just changing the one horse's management because of issues, are they in a herd? Are they likely to get bullied or the other horses stealing their mash? So is the other horse going to be eating faster and then pushing the less dominant horse away? If they're on their own, it's much easier to manage them, but we don't want our horses on their own. So how are you actually going to manage that situation? What constraints do you have as an owner? Sometimes it's actually you have to take a real step back, go back to base and think, do you know what? I'm having to change a lot of this for my horse's well-being. And I'm no longer keeping my horse in the right place. Unfortunately, my horse has lived here for the last 10 years. This setup, your yard, the constraints or rules or whatever, it just may not be the right environment for that horse anymore. So if you are changing from, you know, primarily a grass or forage-based diet to more of a hay replacer diet with these old horses, you really have to have a, you know, a long, hard look and take in everything. So, yeah, there's a lot to consider when changing forage with the seniors.
Yeah,
so many things.
You have given us some wonderful tips and some things to think about. Do you have any final words for our audience of senior horse owners who are going to face some of these issues, whether it's a supply issue or just our horses are getting older and they need different things because of physical issues?
Yeah, so I'm probably going to reiterate a few things. With these old horses, the most important thing you can do is watch them. Pick up changes. So observe their behaviours. Are they still chewing at the same rate? Or have they slowed down? And it might be that they still look like they're happily chewing away, but actually they're just eating that bit more slowly. And that's why there may be some weight loss. They're not eating the same amount of feed as they used to in an hour or a 3 hour period. Even are they standing how they used to? Are there any arthritic changes in the neck, the jaw, the limbs, the back, anywhere, basically, elsewhere in the body that may be causing them to change their eating habits? So if you have any worries about that, obviously, again, consult a vet. Pain management may be your game changer and really help that horse out. You may, you know, be able to lift that feed from the floor. So if you're used to feeding your hay on the floor or in a hay net, you might want to change how they're fed. You might want to just use a manger or something so that the horse isn't having to snatch feed out of the hay net or put their head down to the floor to graze that or take the hay out off the floor. You know, so there's lots of other physical things you can use to help the horse eat more comfortably. In terms of, go back to the colic or fecal water syndrome is something we hear a little bit more of now. Those two can often be signs of a lack of fibre, not just dental issues, but genuinely a lack of fibre. So again, it's that go back to basics. Are you replacing what they used to eat with enough fibre? Had a really interesting call from a lady a while back. She had a senior horse holding his weight, looking great, but she said he only did 3 or 4 droppings a day. So she had noticed she wasn't, you know, having as many droppings to clear up as she should do. Really practical advice for her was, he's holding his weight, he's clearly getting enough calories per day, but he's not getting enough fiber. So she needed to feed that horse a lower calorie fiber and more of it, so that the horse's digestive system was fuller for longer and producing more droppings as they should do. When it comes to droppings, you know, there can be a real giveaway, not just in the number, but also in the consistency. Again, change of fibre, forage, you will often notice, oh, they may have been a little bit loose. So, yeah, keep an eye on every part of that horse. Some of my advice may be more UK than American, but in terms of just keeping observations of those senior horses, it's so important. And, yeah, do what's right for your individual.
That's right. And thank you so much, Vanessa, for joining us today. We've really enjoyed these tips. I hope you'll come back on and we'll talk about some other things.
Oh, you're very, very welcome. I love talking about senior horses. You know, we've had these horses in our lives longer than our children often, or even our siblings, etc. So thank you, everyone who's listened today. And I hope it's been really helpful and you've had some tips and ideas.
Well, thank you to our audience for listening. And we encourage our listeners to sign up for our weekly newsletter so you get the first one to know what information is coming out on My Senior Horse. And if you have any comments or suggestions about senior horses, ponies, donkeys, or mules that you would like to have us discuss on this podcast or delved into in content on My Senior Horse, send an email to me at kbrown, that's the letter K, Brown, at equinenetwork.com. Thanks for joining us today. Take care of yourselves and your senior equids.